Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh, yeah. I put my feelings on safety, so I don't go shooting where I heart be. 'Cause you take the bullet trying to save me, then I'm left to deal with making you bleed.
And that's a whole lot of love, ain't trying to waste it. Like we be running them out and never make it. That's just too bitter for words, don't wanna taste it. That's just too bitter for words, don't wanna face it. But I think that I'm done tripping, I'm tripping. I've been tripping, that's how I control this feeling you keep giving, you keep on hitting. Baby boy, your love got me trippin' on you. You know your love is big enough, made me trip up on you. Yeah, it's big enough, got me trippin' on you. Trippin' on you.
My bad for trippin' on you.
Trippin' on you.
My bad for trippin' on you.
Trippin' on you.
But you know I'm cool when I ain't waiting. But I act a fool when I don't get it. And I'm steady bruising just to save this. But I tripped on your love, now I'm addicted.
And that's a whole lot of love, ain't tryna waste it. Like we be running them out and never make it. That's just too bitter for words, don't wanna taste it. That's just too bitter for words, don't wanna face it.
But I think that I'm done tripping, I'm tripping. I've been tripping, that's how I control this feeling you keep giving, you keep on hitting.
Baby boy, your love got me trippin' on you. You know your love is big enough, made me trip up on you. Yeah, it's big enough, got me trippin' on you. Trippin' on you.
My bad for trippin' on you.
Trippin' on you.
My bad for trippin' on you.
Trippin' on you.
Trippin'.
That's some kind of love, baby. Trip, trip. That's the type of love, baby.
Trip, trip, trippin' on you.
It's big enough.
Face it.
But I think that I'm done tripping, I'm
tripping on you.
Tripping on you.
Hello.
Hello, family. How are you? Darius? How
yes,
are
ma'am.
You?
Yes, ma'am. Doing good, doing good.
You know, that's my song. That song that we got playing in the beginning gets my mind right before I get to having conversations with y'all. How was your Valentine's Day?
Oh, my Valentine's Day was good. I sent my friend from Maryland, D.C., DMV area, I sent her a Valentine's Day card a week before, and I put a little money in to get her a pedicure.
Oh, this the same lady?
Yeah.
Well, we're going on some years now, ain't we? A couple of years.
Yeah. And
okay.
her birthday was yesterday, so I had a surprise with one of YouTube. Let's see, was it one of them throwback songs I posted in her inbox for her birthday gift?
Oh, see, that's a thought that counts. That's beautiful. Now all we got to do is get Hakim hooked up.
No, I'm good. I'm cool.
I am
very well taken care of. I'm a okie dokie.
But Janet, I will say this: she already forewarned me when her Cowboys play my Browns next year. She already started talking trash. So I told her it's strictly business when our teams play each other next season. That's all I'm gonna say.
That's right. Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal.
Wait, she's a Dallas fan?
She's a Cowboys fan.
Oh, God.
And
yeah,
I can deal with it.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry,
Jerry. Hey, all I told her was that when my team comes down to Dallas and beat them, I don't want to hear her being upset.
Right, but that'd be no problem. I hear you. Well, that's good. I made a wager with the foot on doing the Super Bowl, and lost to old dude. I lost. I sure did. I just knew that I was gonna win. But anyway, I don't even want to bring that back up. I lost $100.
Oof.
$100 bet. Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
But anyway. Yeah. So and Diddy said. I can't believe you actually paid it. I was like, yeah, it was a bet, you know. So anyway, so going forward today, what is this? This is February 19, 2020. Shoebox Talk. We are in the house tonight. We are honoring Black History Month. And we thought that that we wanted to touch on and kind of rehash, so to speak, for lack of a better term, the two greatest men that walked this earth in regards to civil rights and sacrificing their lives and their families so we could live the way we live today, and that would be Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. Yes, I'm sorry, I was drinking some water. Martin Luther King Jr. We wanted to come at it a different way when we had this conversation in regards to how we wanted to discuss them. They both have a lot of different accomplishments, so it would take us a lot of time. It'd take more than an hour. But we just kind of want to come at it. We thought about coming at it from the aspect of their assassination, right? Now, on this earth and at this time, we have two. These men are no longer here, but they leave a legacy behind, a family. Both Malcolm X, he had about 5 or 6 kids, and so did Martin Luther King. It was a tragedy back then. And to this day, history is a tragedy that they didn't get to live out their legacy. So, going forward, when we talk about when we're talking about this assassination, because they both was assassinated, what's the timeline in between? Because they both were, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm always bad with names and bad with dates, but they both were out relevant fighting for civil rights at the same time. They were both alive at the same time. And so who has the timeline in regards to who was assassinated first and what's the time, and the second one that was assassinated, what's the time between the two? Does anybody have that information?
Okay,
on this Friday, February the 21st, will be the anniversary of Malcolm X being assassinated. February 21st, 1965 is when he was assassinated. He was 40 years old.
He was killed 3 years before Martin Luther King was.
Right.
Okay, got it.
So Malcolm X, February 21st for Malcolm X, and Martin Luther King, it was April 4th, 1968.
Got it. So Martin Luther King was still here fighting for civil rights 3 years after Malcolm X was assassinated. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who wants to touch on some of Malcolm X's accomplishments and legacy and really... Really, because right now they're talking about that they're trying to reopen, reinvestigate this assassination. There's a documentary coming out, "Who Killed Malcolm X." It was released. It's going to be released this month in February.
I believe it's out already.
55 years after his assassination. Let's see, how old would Malcolm X be right now?
If he was alive today, he would be in his 80s. He would have to be in his 80s.
Well, let's see. No, he'd be older than that because he was 41. He was 40 when he got killed. That was in 65. So 65 to 2000. Is another what, 35 years? So that's you talking about. That's 75 right there, just to make it to 2000.
Yeah,
he'd be age 75 at 2000. So you throw on another 20 years, he'd be 95 years old right now.
Yeah.
Right? Did I do the math right? So.
Yeah, you got it.
This documentary, I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to. I have to be like in a quiet place with no interruptions when I'm watching things like this. So I'm going to try to check it out this weekend. Did either one of you guys see it?
No, I don't plan on watching it.
Okay, got it. What do you think about reinvestigating his assassination? That being the person that actually did it is what they're looking for, or the person that was put up to do it. So therefore we need to know who it was that, wanted him assassinated. What's the outcome of this investigation, you think, reopening this investigation?
I think I remember when I watched the Malcolm X movie starring Denzel Washington. He looked like the real Malcolm X in that movie to me. But now, anyway, I believe he was Now, I'm correct me if I'm wrong, because I remember when he left Muslims, because he said, and I quote, after President Kennedy was killed, he said, chickens come home to roost. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad got upset, and they got rid of him. Now, I think he had to play that scene. I think he was sick at the time. But anyway.
Sick how? Sick of what?
He probably had like a little bit of health problem. Like it was in that movie. You have to probably look at it again.
I've seen it, but I don't remember him being sick.
Hold on. Listen, you don't want to reference that movie, because that movie was based off of Alex Haley's autobiography and directed by Spike Lee. It was not an accurate depiction of what was going on in reality.
Mm.
So the movie was as great as that movie was. Remember, there was a lot of things that were thrown in there to sell movie tickets. So don't. Mm. Yeah,
okay.
So you don't want to use the movie as an example.
The part that I remember being accurate is how he died up there at the podium, and somebody coming in and assassinating him. That's correct.
Yeah, exactly. The Autobahn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he you know, when Malcolm left the Nation, I think it was during the time where he was supposed to be serving out his suspension or whatever, and there was already head bumping going on in the Nation of Islam at the time. You know, you had other guys who wanted to rise up, and Malcolm still was the golden ticket. My issue is, if there is some honest to goodness investigation that's going to go on, I want it to happen, and I want it to happen by people who want to know the truth, not just, you know, I don't want this to turn into 50 more documentaries coming up because of something
mm-hmm.
people think happened. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of culture vulturing going on by Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
and people will go and they will grab a topic and they will just go all in because of a theory. Now, it's one thing if new information came up, and if that's the issue, then okay, I say, come on, let's get on it. Let's follow the leads, and let's do some investigative reporting here, and let's get some
mm-hmm.
truth. So, because our people deserve the truth, you know. But if this is just a hit piece to get Netflix views up, then nah, I don't want no parts of it.
Well, and especially for this, I think that this story needs to continue to be told for these kids, this generation who don't really know, you know, what Malcolm X knew, know nothing about Malcolm X and or what he stood for, what he did. Both him and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., out of respect to him, they definitely had a mark, their lives and the things that they did and what they stood for and how they went about doing it. Really, you know, a lot of these kids need to know this. A lot of pushed us forward, got the ball rolling in regards to civil rights, and they had
mm-hmm.
to lose their life. This white supremacist killed them both. And if this documentary is not going to outline that, then I'm not interested in seeing it either. I don't want, you know, trying to snowball and put some stuff out there just to sell tickets is not what I'm interested in. If it's going to be a documentary, an investigation, or reopening of the assassination, then it needs to be. That's exactly what it needs to be. It's not. It shouldn't be for entertainment.
Exactly.
And anybody that's interested in knowing, you know, getting as close to the facts as we possibly can, you know, via, social media, they should watch it for those reasons, to get informed on, because there's always going to be whoever's making the movie or producing it, it's always going to be, a lot of it is going to be their take on the information that they got to go ahead and make this movie, right? It's going to be their take on it. And that's where it comes in, what you were talking about a few minutes ago. You know, you don't want it to be two or three, because they will take it and run with it, and it'll be two or three different versions on somebody else's take on what happened, how he was assassinated, you know. And then it just snowballs from there. That's, especially with social media, that's how we do things. You know, it just goes, and it just to the point where the actual truth or the investigation or the documentary, in this case, they got one coming out. Not to get off subject, they got one coming out with your boy that just got killed. The rapper, what's his name?
Nipsey Hussle.
Nipsey Hussle. God,
Juice WRLD or Nipsey Hussle?
Nipsey Hussle. They're getting ready to do a documentary. I don't think it's Netflix, I saw a write-up on that as well. Of course, I don't have that information in front of me, but they're getting ready to do a documentary on his life. Not a documentary. It's a documentary on his life and then leading up to when he got assassinated, when he got killed, and so on and so forth. So in honor of Black History Month, I wanted to definitely compare the two assassinations. They're both by 3 years or not, that timeline. The white supremacist is was being documented as having a hand in these dudes getting killed. What do y'all think about that?
Now, when you say white supremacist, what do you mean?
Well, you know, says, you know, his he was murdered by a white supremacist, had a hand in that. Not long after his mother was institutionalized for mental health issues while serving an 8 to 10 year sentence in prison for grand larceny, Malcolm X joined a Nation of Islam, an African-American religion and political group that has become one of the wealthiest and best known organizations in Black America. So it says that. It says that he was murdered was said to have been violently murdered by white supremacists. And that's the information I've always understood. It may have been a black man that went in there and did it, but it was behind, the white supremacist was behind it. I did not know his father was an outspoken Black Baptist minister either.
Yeah, he was Malcolm X's father was a minister.
Minister on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they're coming with some, you know, like the movie Malcolm X, which I knew when, you know, Spike Lee did it and stuff like that, it was not a documentary. It was, I want to say it was probably a 60-40 in regards to truthness or actual reality of what we know to be true. But it didn't outline that the white supremacist at that time was behind it.
Well, because it was a reason, because at the time, Alex Haley got his facts from, Spike Lee got his facts from Alex Haley. And at the time, it wasn't 100% sure it was, what do you call that, white supremacist. They didn't know if it was the government. They didn't know if it was other jealous members of the nation. There's been a lot of theories out there. You know, it's been assumed that it was white supremacy. But
at that time was a part of the government. The government was a big, they had Ku Klux Klan and white supremacists. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
they're not going to say the government / white supremacist. Whatever professional role you hold, you're a white supremacist. You're a white supremacist.
Yeah,
that's why they had a hand in it. Mm-hmm.
That's why I was asking the question where I was asking, which white supremacy are we talking about, the KKK, or are we talking about the government? Because that's a form of white supremacy in itself. Because the government, you know. It's one of them situations where because there's been a lot of books that came out. There's been a lot of information that's come out ever since. A lot of stuff has been declassified by the Bush administration. on Malcolm and Martin, because you know they were under COINTELPRO for many years. So,
mm-hmm.
and that stuff was deemed classified. So the Freedom of Information Act didn't apply. You couldn't pay that $100 or whatever it is to get information. It was because it was deemed classified. But then Bush, before he left, due to some pressure from the Black Congressional Caucus, he gave him a win. He unlocked a lot of that stuff.
Hakeem, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Are you talking about Bush Senior for?
Junior. No, hell no. Senior would never, because you gotta remember, man. Senior was he's an old CIA. I mean, ex FBI director, and he was a spook himself, so he wouldn't want that kind of information out. He was one of them presidents that believe once it's classified, stays classified. And you have to understand every president when he's in his lame duck situation, he always declassifies things. Every president does it. I don't think Donald Trump is going to do it, but because it's probably going to get used against him, you know. But Obama did it. He declassified a bunch of stuff.
To be honest with you.
People took that information. They wrote whole books. There was information out about all kinds of stuff about Martin that I'm not going to get into. That's a whole other show. But I mean, a lot of personal information that they didn't teach in history class.
Of course,
that came out from wiretapping. They were some of their security detail were FBI agents. You know, some of the guys you may see in some of Malcolm pictures were FBI agents, and he knew it. So it's a lot that went on that we just weren't aware of because we relied on historical facts that came from reporters and our teachers and whoever else can tell the story. But just think how much, I mean, pages and pages of stuff that's been classified. So, I mean, it's scary. You know, we really get how scared Martin was. You know, that's why, you know, when you go into, you listen to his last few years of life, sorry, I'm tongue-tied, you hear how the way he preached changed, his speeches changed. You know, I feel like I'm leading my people into a house of burning fire. Then he start talking about the redistribution of wealth. It's almost like a whole different guy stepped up to the plate. It went from, hey, let's hold hands and let's love each other, to, hey, man, you guys are taking advantage of us. You know, so.
Right. So the other take on it is, what's your thoughts in regards to Nation of Islam assassinated, being a part of having something to do with it? So there's talk. Initially, that's what it was. At the time, he had beef with them with Farrakhan.
Let's put that in perspective. Farrakhan, he didn't have a lot of teeth back in them days. You know, he was a young whippersnapper up and coming. You know, so no. Now, is it possible somebody did it? Yes, anything's possible. Could be one of them jealous ministers who got tired of all the cameras being pointed on Malcolm wherever he went. You know, but at the same time, when you look at it from a PR standpoint, he, no matter what Malcolm did, he was still tied to the Nation by default. So it still brought the necessary attention to the Nation. Their drives to bring people into the community didn't go down; it went up. You know, so Elijah Muhammad's teachings stayed the same. You know, they did those things didn't shift and change.
I didn't say Elijah Muhammad. I'm sorry. I meant to say Elijah Muhammad, not Farrakhan. Farrakhan wasn't even relevant back then.
Yeah, the mathematics still stayed the same. The supreme knowledge stayed the same. Everything that he taught, it stayed the same. Things didn't start getting a little weirder till a little later when his son broke off. And then there came Khalid Muhammad, who found himself in the same situation as Malcolm, you know, because Khalid didn't care. You know, the thing is, the good news from Malcolm, out of Malcolm came many, many, many houses. And a lot of school of thought, a lot of different nations were spawned from him, you know. We got Brother Rodney Muhammad over here in Philly, who's last time I checked was the chairman of the NAACP chapter over here. And when I was into the Nation of Islam, that's who I talked to every day. He was friends with my old mentor, Brother Skeef. He used to come to West. And then, you know, he had us clean up Malcolm X Park on Saturdays. And then we had Khalid Muhammad, who came to West because of the same brother I'm talking about. So Malcolm started something. A lot of fruit grew from that tree. And
I agree.
That was a serious thing. Where when we look at it, Malcolm's history is always going to be looked at differently from Martin's, because Martin's was equally a religious movement as it was a civil rights movement. Why do I say that? Because a lot of the organizers were the ministers. You had Reverend Abernathy. You had a couple of the Good Brothers. You had good doctors like I can't remember his name. Even Pastor Dante, who's our pastor of this network. Even his grandfather was out there on the movement, and we plan to interview him soon. You know, so it's, you know, where he's locked in arms walking down the street with Martin. So the ministers came together and got people involved, and they used the church as a staging base and many other things to launch this civil right initiative, because they knew that, one, the ministers could bring people together, and then you put your health and well-being, your right to do this, your right to do that, you tie that into it. That's a big movement. And it was stronger in the South, because those religious values are stronger in the South. Right? So
that's correct.
Up here in the North,
in the
Midwest, in the North, in the Chicago area, all that was coming out of the Nation of Islam. Up here to New York and then Harlem. You know, and out of Malcolm X, you had Clarence 13 X Smith. You know, he took over the old Harriet Tubman school and launched a whole nother movement out of there. That's how you got the Wu-Tang. That's how you got Big Daddy Kane. That's how you got Rakim. That's how you got any of your KRS-One. They all came out of that school. Busta Rhymes, me. You know, we all went to that school, got our lessons and learned. You know, so it's Malcolm's thing was more philosophical, and Martin's philosophical point was about it had a religious tone to it and a spiritual tone to it. So I guess it seems like it's more impactful. You know what I mean?
That's correct. So now, going forward, Martin Luther King. He was, and it's always been, I don't know what it is about us black folks, but it's the East, it's down South, and then it's, you know, East Coast. He did have for some reason, and if my history, I'm a little bit rusty on my history, down South at that time was catching way more hell than the East Coast was in regards to civil rights. Like, they were down South, Alabama, places like that, Montgomery, even Georgia. They was lynching and killing, and Ku Klux Klan and the white supremacists was really, it was going down on the East Coast too, New York, but it was more so prevalent. And so down South, would I be correct in saying that? At the time when these two dudes was out.
Yeah. Don't forget Mount Mississippi.
Oh, yes. yes. So with that being said, the type of movement that Martin had to do was way on a whole nother level than where Malcolm was. Like,
well,
I think more intensified because of where he was at, where he was from. And it was really, I want to say those 4 or 5 states was really catching hell when civil rights, started going. We had, a lot of that we see with people getting sprayed with water hoses and dogs getting sucked and sent on black people and lynchings and people being hung from trees and so on and so forth. Was a lot of that started, it really was down south, thick time, So with that being said, would you agree that Martin, plus on the fact, to include the fact that it was a more faith-based Christian teaching or speaking to the, a lot of churchgoers and followers that were in Baptist churches and so on and so forth, was following this dude, Dr. Martin Luther King, all over down south, or wherever he would speak. People would go and get in buses and to go hear him speak all over at the HBCUs and so on and so forth. So that was a different type of movement than what Malcolm was. He was teaching something different, but he was talking to a different crowd of people. Would you say?
Yeah. If we're going to do a comparison, it was sort of like apples and oranges, where Malcolm made the headlines at speaking functions,
mm-hmm.
where Martin made the headlines in the newspapers through the marches and the sick and the dogs and the water hose and the police brutality out in the street. Because remember, they marched. That was Malcolm's biggest criticism. Keep marching and keep getting your head bashed in.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was the difference from the Christian base, how they handled it, versus the Nation of Islam, how they handled it. They were they were on some each one teach one and be self-sufficient and all that other good stuff. And the down south, they were running we're going to make this change by coming together and protest and march. And so it was almost like, I often say, what would have happened if there was more collaboration?
Man,
so there,
that would have been
right? Well, yeah, but the philosophies were different. Where the Nation of Islam, if a cop struck you, you break his jaw. Versus the Southern civil rights movement was just take it and civil disobedience as far as we go. We're just going to, we'll go to jail. We'll get bailed out, but we're going to let them know we're going to shut these streets down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all in where you are in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Right. From my understanding,
there's no
right
approach to this.
From Malcolm's movement. And you're correct. You're 100% correct. From Malcolm's movement, though, came the beginning. I'm going to say the beginning, but came the start of the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that and a whole bunch. It's a few other organizations that came out of that philosophy. But remember, their stuff was local.
Mm.
And their stuff was through various municipalities they would just go to war with. Versus a bigger strategy that King and them had. Their thing is they'll pick a spot and just shut it down. And it's so many people, ain't enough cops on the force. So you get the hoses out, get the dogs out. So that made national news. If you were in New York or Chicago and Philadelphia, you're looking like, what them fools down there doing? They tripping.
Right.
But it was different strategies, And Martin was trying to change the minds of the people that were against us. Mm-hmm. Malcolm was trying to change our minds about the people that were against us. Different strategies.
Right. Night and day.
Yeah.
Night and day. You know, Malcolm was, we should be brothers. Martin was saying, let's be brothers and let's stop this. And Malcolm was saying, let's separate. Screw them devils.
Right.
So.
Right.
I kind of saw that was
I'm going to ask both of y'all this question. If, God forbid, you was living in those times, and who would you follow if you was living back then?
I would have stayed with Malcolm. I'd probably be dead because I don't suffer the other colors. I just can't do it. It's not a part of who I am. I don't have that forgiveness stuff in me. I don't do forgiveness. You know, it's
yeah.
You know, I just let things be and whatever, but I don't do all of that. And things were harsh up here in the North, too. It was just, it goes to what Lewis said, why was it hushed in the Black community? And, you know, it wasn't so much that it was hushed. It was hushed, yes, but it was hushed because of they did a good job of moving on with the news coverage. But when Martin died, it was national news. It affected everybody, even all the way up to the president. So you had Malcolm talking shit about the one president that died and Martin meeting with a president. See the difference?
Yeah.
Because they looked at Martin more as a threat because of the waves of people that he was able to bring together. I'm not talking about some little city block in Harlem or in Chi-Town. I'm talking about look at Selma. Look at thousands and thousands of people coming together to march on Washington and all those different things.
Hell yeah.
That Martin was able to do. That makes him – he was public enemy number one. That's why they tapped his phones. They tapped his wife's phones. They found out about his infidelities, his weaknesses, his fears. They got it on tape where he's scared for his life. He said they're telling the FBI agent that he knows is there to protect him.
Wow.
That he was scared for his life. So it was a different animal, especially after Malcolm died. So just imagine. Oh, shit, they got him. What you think they're going to do to me?
Well,
right.
So it was a different animal for him. You know.
Let me go with. If I was living in that time in the 60s, I would have been on the Malcolm X team. Because anytime if you try to hit me, I have the right to defend myself. That his movement, it was kind of like the prelude to like what y'all talked about to the Black Panther movement, which I did watched a documentary a couple of weeks ago, but it to me with Martin Luther King, his movement was about nonviolent protest and marches, like the March to Selma, 1965. Am I correct? When that and they call that Bloody Sunday. I think it's 1965. But it that era just showed you how cruel the white people were. I said just wow, and just imagine if Malcolm X and Martin Luther King was alive today to see this generation. I probably would guarantee they probably some of these black people wouldn't be acting ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that as a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think Malcolm X's kids are still alive, I believe. Malcolm X.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I didn't know I was on mute by accident. Hakim, do we have any callers?
No one has pressed the if anyone wants to get through, just press the number one. I'll put you right through. You can go live on air and share your views on this topic. We're talking about the assassination of Martin and Malcolm.
More than likely, if I was alive back then, I probably would have not made it that far. Just knowing from the conversations that my grandparents taught me and my great-grandparents and just growing up in those times and having to deal with the things that our ancestors went through, if these kids only knew what our ancestors, black people could only, if we could take, if we could go back in time and you stand there and be like, you know, there but not there and see what we went through, what our ancestors went through, you would come back to this time and you would make sure, hands down, that you would do the best of your ability to vote. Right? And my generation, I feel like I've said this before on prior shows, did not do a good job of teaching these kids about that, right? And it was our job to teach them because the school books is not going to give you the accurate story, event of what really took place. So I said that to say this, that I would more than likely be with a Martin Luther King. More than likely, that's where I would be, church, faith-based, and I probably wouldn't be happy with the fact that we trying to sing Kumbaya and get along with folks, but that's where I would more than likely be. And the other side of that is a small possibility, because my beliefs are not the same of Malcolm X, but I'm from the East Coast, so I would be on the East Coast, but with Martin down south, if that makes any sense. So,
Don't listen. Here's another known fact. It just wasn't reported enough. There was a lot of conjunction. There was some people who were a part of the Nation of Islam that did attend Martin's speeches and some of his movements. There were people from the Ansar Allah community who were down there. There were Muslims attending some, but you don't hear about that because we got to remember we're getting information from people who want to give it to you a certain way. You know, they want you to believe that those two individuals were at odds or whatever. They had a difference in philosophy. They hated each other. You know, one had one approach and the other had another. Even their goals were a little bit different.
But the outcome, the overall, civil rights movement is what they were both going for. You know, it was the rights of us African Americans in this country and unjustice being served to us on a daily basis. Like, you know, as human beings, somebody needs to stand up and say, we have the right. We have the right. We're Americans too. You know, first of all, I wouldn't have been able to not go into no restaurant and have to go in through the back, shit like that. Like, I wouldn't have made it. I probably would have got killed. Like, for real. You know, stuff like that. So, how many more minutes we got? We got like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 minutes. So, what's y'all's final thoughts on this subject for Black History and just Black History Month overall? Because the objective of this show was to discuss the comparisons of the two and how that has affected our community in this time. You know, at this time, I know a lot of us don't even show respect. A lot of these youngsters don't even, you know, care to know what Martin Luther King or Malcolm X stood for. But based on what you know and have learned, their impact on our people is do you believe that it is prevalent now? We are further along because of what they went through?
Let's see. You said are we further along now, or you think we're further back?
Right. Based on what, you know, the things that they did, you know, sacrificed their life, and, you know, for us to be, to go civil rights, the civil rights movement, have we, their lives being sacrificed benefit us now today? That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. I would probably say everything going on now, I'd probably say we're a little bit further back than we should be now. We should be advanced and not, every time we try to make major progress, we always take 3 or 4 steps back. And I still don't get it. And some of this stuff we bring on to ourselves, and there's others, just like we talked about with police officers still today killing unarmed black people at an alarming rate. And I still fear if this happens again, I said somebody a few years ago, I said, we're basically right back in the civil rights era all over again. When everything went down under Trayvon and the Eric Garner case in New York, I'm trying to think that other young man in Minnesota got killed by the police. I can't think of his name. Fernando Castillo. We're right back in the civil rights era. We're right back to it. But this time,
I couldn't sleep after that one. That really messed with me. That boy in Fernando. And they were back to back. You're right.
Yeah, and
I can just imagine. It feels like, from what we know, because of course we wasn't there, that was like civil rights. You know, civil rights. You know, the things that they went through back then. We was experiencing with these two, this kid, Fernando, and it was just a lot. It was a lot. I was like, and you would think, you know what? So I'm like, man, have we come that far? Because that was in 2017, 2018?
2016.
We have come out.
No,
it was a long time ago, civil rights, and we still having these problems?
And guess what? And let me go one step further. You know how when you go to the civil case, they always give these black families like them civil case, they give them like a lump sum of money to keep them quiet out of court settlement. You know, I call that hush hush money, because technically they said. Oh, we admit we're sorry we killed your family member, but here's like $2 or $3 million just to keep y'all quiet.
How is they keeping them quiet?
I mean, I take that back.
Yeah,
they still speak out like
reparations you can get, you know.
Or Eric Garner's wife is still speaking out after they let go of the officer. And they gave him his full benefits.
The kid, well, his son, Eric Gardner's son, we know they're people from Staten Island, and his son kicked it with my nephew, went to high school with my nephew that just graduated from Alabama State, not Alabama, Albany, up in Albany. Anyway, he showed me a picture of this dude after his dad passed, and they got awarded all those millions of dollars, the family. His son is up in Cancun, showing out on the boat, and then blowing all his money, acting a fool. That was a big conversation in Staten Island, New York. The blowing his money that he got from the state of New York for his dad's death.
But
let me tell you something. the cops killed my pop, and they dropped me a bunch of money, I'm gonna be out balling out too. What else I'm gonna do with it? I'm gonna go party to forget my sorrows. You know what I mean? Because it's like, ooh, I remember that conversation where people were criticizing him about it, and I'm going, well, what is he supposed to do? Sit home, sit on his money like Scrooge McDuck and cry? He's gonna go live his life. He has a chance to get out the hood, change his family condition. Now, if he come back next month, somebody broke, okay, yeah, he's a dickhead. But if this is a situation where he can go and escape that darkness of that city, yeah, I'll be right beside him. You know what I mean, think about it like this: what's more worse than a city or a city official killing your father?
And I remember the big marches up there in New York, and even the NBA players, like led by LeBron and other NBA players, they wore them shirts, "I Can't Breathe." And still to this day, when I still watch that video, I said, this officer should be in jail right now. But they didn't do it. Just like that idiot George Zimmerman that killed Trayvon, his butt should be in jail in Florida as of right now. But they let him off.
Do you know this dude is still walking around here alive?
Yeah.
He's still walking around here living his life, living his best life.
That's under that I don't like that law that let's see, stand your ground law. And I told people, I said, them laws of Florida. Can't live by that.
Well, you know, stand your ground ain't just in Florida.
I know, they're trying to bring it.
That's all over the country in some states.
Yeah.
I know in Texas, you run up in somebody's house, you got the right to kill their ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Hakim, what's your thoughts on it? Martin Luther King and Malcolm giving their lives? Have we made any kind of progress?
Some, not a lot. And the progress we made has been rolled back. The voting rights that protected us have been rolled back and not been reestablished. Let's take a look at how we had civil rights investigators in the Department of Justice. Donald Trump came in and he cut that department's budget down so deep where there's only a handful of guys working national cases. So, I mean, it's as black acceptance grown? Sure. You know how we know? Because we ended up getting a black president. So there was more white people to accept the black man. But has the conditions changed for the black man? No. It's gotten worse in many instances. We had the redlining that's taken place since Martin Luther King died. We had gentrification that's been taking place. You know, the places that was called the ghettos and the hoods and the slums are now being taken over and bought out by white folks. So the place they corralled you in to live, which is supposed to be in the wastelands or the crap holes, they're one of them now. So where they plan to herd you next? That's what you got to think. So it's a lot has changed. Some things for the better. It's still a lot of things for the worse. You know, they have more ways to get at you now than they had back then. So, okay, you got about 30 seconds.
Well, y'all, I appreciate y'all sharing this time with us, talking about Malcolm and Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin. I didn't make sure I say doctor because it show him respect. On this February 19th, Black History Month. We appreciate y'all listening. To all our listeners who didn't press one to speak, leave a message on our website there, blogtalkradio.com/hubnetonline. Leave us a note. Let us know what your thoughts are. And if you got anything else you want to say about it in the group, Shoebox Talk, inbox me. I'll make sure I post it up. Y'all have a good night, and we appreciate y'all listening.